I preached that message to start the year and focused on that little word is. And he didn't say that it was or that it will be. He said that it is present. And I'm thankful for everything that we go through, that God's grace is sufficient. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, Psalm chapter number 20, and we're going to look at a verse of Scripture here. And for many of the midweek services here in 2025, we have been studying the names of God. In fact, we started in January with that new series, The Names of God, and we have not studied every name of God, but we've studied quite a few, and we've not had every Wednesday evening where we've dealt with that subject, but here this evening, we're going to wrap it up on that particular study and then move into something new next week, but I just wanted to give you a quick review this evening. As we look here in Psalm 20 and verse number 7, I want you to notice what the Bible says. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I begin to think about the names that we've studied over these weeks of 2025. Elohim, the strong one, and Elohim, there's an obvious connection with the use of the name of God Elohim with creation. In fact, you see it repeated many times in the opening chapter of God's Word, and we moved on from looking at that truth that He is the strong one, and then looked at El Elyon, the Most High God, Adonai, Lord or Master, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We looked at the name Jehovah, the self-existent one, to be. It's truly what the root word means for Jehovah, to be, the self-existent one. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. We talked about Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. You know, so many people today looking for peace, and they think that peace is found in the absence of trouble, and we know that the Prince of Peace is the one that gives peace that passeth all understanding. El Roy, the God who sees me. Aren't you thankful that God sees you? And then we looked at the name El Elohim, the everlasting God. Again, there's many other names that we could look at as you study through the Scriptures, and we could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I've just tried to kind of encourage you to know the names of God as He provides them to us in His Word, and whet your appetite, so to speak, so that you can look through and study some others. But we notice this truth here in Psalm 20 and verse number 7. And as we read the verse, as I did by way of introduction, trust is placed in a variety of people or things. Have you ever heard someone say to you, just trust me, or just trust this, or trust that, whatever it might be? And here the Bible says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. And as we look at the remainder of the verse, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I've simply titled the message that way tonight from the end of verse number 7, we will remember the name of our God. I want you to think about that statement. In fact, there's plenty of statements throughout the book of Psalms where the psalmist makes these I will statements. And these are statements of decision, statements of resolve, of determination. I will do this. And here we find that the psalmist says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Have you ever forgotten something? You say, are you kidding me? We forget things regularly, don't we? And the reality is that if we're going to remember something, we have to be purposed, we have to be studied, we have to keep it in the forefront of our mind. And we find that when we remember the name of our God, as the psalmist says here in Psalm 20 and verse number 7, I believe that it will lead to us putting our trust in Him. In fact, the verse that we started the entire study with back in January is Psalm 9 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And then in Psalm 11 and verse number 1, when the Bible says, in the Lord put I my trust. It was a deliberate decision. He understood who the Lord is and understood that He is trustworthy, and therefore He places His trust in the Lord. We could ask ourselves the question this evening, in whom do we trust? In fact, we heard a message on Sunday morning of our revival meeting where we were challenged to trust God, that we'll face uncertain times, we'll face things that will occur in our lives, but through it all, we must trust the Lord that we are in His hands, and He knows all things. We find a very oft-quoted passage of Scripture in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord how? With all your heart, right? And then it says this, lean not on their own understanding. You know, the reality is that that's a challenge for some of us, is it not? If we'd be honest this evening, the challenge that many of us face when we're speaking about placing our trust in the Lord is that we lean on our own understanding. And we find that the wise man there in Proverbs says that we're to trust the Lord. The psalmist here in Psalm 20, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The Scriptures give a warning about forgetting the name of God. Look at it, if you will, in Psalm 44. Turn over just a few pages. In Psalm 44, in verse number 20, I want you to notice what the Bible says. And then we're going to look over at Jeremiah at a few verses. In Psalm 44 and verse 20, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. You know, God knows if you're trusting Him or not. He knows if I'm trusting me or if I'm trusting Him. He knows if the same for you. And we begin to look at this, and we begin to think about the book of Jeremiah, and one of the indictments upon Judah in the book of Jeremiah is that they had forgotten their God, days without number. In fact, is the way the Bible puts it. Look at it in Jeremiah chapter 2, if you will, and just look at just a couple of verses very quickly here in Jeremiah chapter 2 and 3, and we'll look at just a couple of verses here. But in chapter number 2 of Jeremiah, and notice in verse number 32, the Bible says this, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet, notice what he says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. He says in chapter 3, in verse number 21, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Now, I want you to consider with me just for a moment when I begin to think about this challenge that we find, this warning in the Scriptures about forgetting God. I don't think this is an academic, I forgot God or who He is. I think this is a practical. See, the reality is that in the midst of practically forgetting God, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm trusting in my own way. I'm doing my own thing. I'm following the way that I want to go. I'm following my own way, and I've forgotten the Lord practically, but not academically. In fact, even in that state of practically forgetting the Lord, if someone were to stop us and say, hey, do you know the Lord? Oh, yeah, I know the Lord. Do you know a name of God? Do you know what He's able to do? Do you know any of His attributes? Academically, we could respond. In fact, if you study the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, and especially during this time, what were they doing? Well, they're still going and making sacrifices, are they not? God says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your heart. They would sacrifice, they would try to go through the motions, but yet their heart was far from God. Why? Because they were serving idols. They were chasing after idols. And so I believe that when we begin to think about this tonight, when the Scriptures say that we will remember the name of our God, it's not just an academic, it's more practical. That we're going to keep it in keep the truth, the reality of who He is in the forefront of our minds, so that when we go through life, we are trusting Him. Notice with me several examples this evening. I do not have the time to deal with all that I've even included in my notes, but I believe that as we know the name of God this evening, that it will result in God's people having comfort, courage, and confidence. Why is it that we would have comfort in knowing the name of God? Well, because He's the one that provides. He's the one that heals. He's the one that knows. He's the one that's able. Why is it that He gives us courage? Well, because He's the one that said, "Let there be light," and there's light. He's the one that said, "Is anything too hard for me?" after He said that He was El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Confidence that we can go to Him and pray, knowing what He's revealed to us, that He sees us, that He knows, that He cares, that He's my shepherd. Just think, as we studied for several weeks looking at the name Jehovah Ra, that He's my shepherd, the reality of that truth and how He just cares so much for us. We find this evening that having that comfort, that courage, and that confidence will cause us, I believe, to trust in Him at all times, as we're instructed to do in Psalm 62 in verse number 8. To trust in Him at all times. I want to share just a few examples with you this evening of some people that knew God. They knew the name of God. They knew who He was. They knew His attributes, His character. And I want you to see how it impacted them. And I want you to, as we look at these examples this evening, I want you to see how knowing the Lord in the intimate way in which they did, that it caused them to have comfort. It caused them to have courage. It caused them to have confidence. Notice with me first, look at the life of Elijah, if you will, back in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Look, if you will, there. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. We know here in the text in 1 Kings 18, when we talk about the fire being called from heaven and understanding the showdown at Mount Carmel, if you will, and all that takes place. And we understand that those idol Baal worshipers, they spend the day trying to intercede to their false god to bring fire, and nothing happens. And we find that Elijah steps up and he gives some instruction. And we're not going to deal with all of what he does there, but I want to notice this evening how he prays. In 1 Kings 18 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near." And notice what he says: "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell. We begin to see how he prays. Do you see the confidence that Elijah has? He knows who God is. And as he goes to God and he begins praying, "The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel," and he knows who God is. He knows, even in the text, and we're not going to take the time to dissect it, but using some of the names of God and understanding that he's praying to Jehovah God, the Creator, the one that can do all things, and he prays according to God's word. And he prays that others would know who this God is, who our God is. See, when I see Elijah here praying, he was a man that prayed with courage, with confidence. Why? Because he knew God. You know, how we pray reveals what we know to be true about God. I want you to think about that for a moment. How we pray reveals what we know to be true about God. What in your prayer reveals that you know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above? What in your prayer life reveals that you believe that He's the God that can do the impossible? I think that this one would be easy because it's so common in our world today. What about your prayer would reveal that you believe he can heal? Why do I say that? Because the sick are recovering part of a prayer bulletin seems to always be the biggest part of a prayer bulletin. And that's not a criticism. It's simply a reality that we deal with infirmities, but we also know that we serve a God who is the great physician. That said in the book of James that if any are sick, let them pray. And so we find this evening that our prayer life, your prayer life, my prayer life, it reveals what we know to be true about God. Listen, if Elijah did not believe that God was able, I don't think he would stand there in front of all of those people and pray this prayer that fire would come from heaven if in his heart he didn't believe it could happen. Do you? Somebody said this years ago, speaking about how big our God is, and said, pray big prayers. It was from a young man that preached at the pastor's fellowship that we go to in New Jersey most years. It was a young man with autism. And he preached a message that night about how big his God is. It was so impactful. And he said, dream big dreams. Pray big prayers because you have a big God. And we do. Our God. But what we know to be true of who God is, that's why it's so important that we know him. We'll have that comfort, that courage, that confidence. We'll trust him like we're commanded to do so. Think of Hezekiah in 2 Kings in chapter number 19. In 2 Kings chapter 19, Hezekiah is in a position that's a difficult position, a position in which many of us would choose rather not find ourselves in this kind of position. We'd choose not to be in this situation. The world power at the day that has conquered many other people groups has now come threatening Judah. Israel's already been taken captive by this same world empire. And the Assyrians are on the march, and Sennacherib and Rabshakeh are doing all that they can to not only discourage Hezekiah, but to discourage the people of God. And they begin to say things like, what makes you different than all the others that we conquered? We conquered these people and these people and these people, and they had this God and this God and this God, and their gods couldn't help them. And the difference is that they're all false gods, but we serve the living God. Hezekiah knew something about who God was. Hezekiah knew who God was, and it's evidenced to us through his prayer. Notice with me in 2 Kings here in chapter 19 and verse number 14, the Bible says this, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I always love reading that verse of Scripture because in my sanctified imagination, I see Hezekiah taking this letter full of threatenings and all that was contained therein and going up into that upper place and getting on his hands and knees and laying that letter out and just bringing it before the Lord. And he says in verse 15, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. Listen, Hezekiah understood that what they were saying was true. But he knew God. He says in verse 18, and have cast their gods, little g, idols, false gods, into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Isn't that powerful? We see elements here within the prayer of how Hezekiah is acknowledging repeatedly who God is. Why does he repeat it? I think because he needs to be encouraged. He's got a major issue at his front door. And he's praying and he's repeated a couple of times who God is. Why? Because it's giving him courage and it's giving him comfort and it's giving him confidence as he would repeat the names of God. Oh, knowing who God is going to cause us to have comfort and courage and confidence, and it's going to cause us to put our trust in the Lord at all times. I mean, when the Assyrians are in your backyard and they're bringing all their threats and all of their rhetoric, and the reality is that Hezekiah knows God. Aren't you thankful there's a Hezekiah that knew God that we could read of? You know what God does? God sends a couple of angels, 185,000 are killed in one night. You read the end of the chapter. We don't have time to deal with it tonight. That's not really the point of the message this evening. But I want you to understand that God was entreated. God heard the prayer of Hezekiah, and God answered. God delights in answering prayer. God delights in showing himself strong and mighty to those who put their trust in him. Look at the record in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 with Asa. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, Asa makes this statement, and I love how he says it. There's so many elements of this prayer that Asa prays that are applicable in our lives this evening. And again, I got a whole list of illustrations or examples of people, but we won't get to all of them this evening. I want you to just look here in verse number 11 at 2 Chronicles 14. Look at what Asa says. Well, let's back up in verse 9. It says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Marishah. 1,000,000 are coming against him. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zarethah at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God." You ever cry unto God? It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily weep, but weeping is not a problem, by the way. It's okay. I was reading the book of Nehemiah and Esther this morning, and when I finished up Esther, I was reminded how Esther besought the king Ahasuerus with tears for her people. You know, sometimes it's okay for us to beseech our king, the Lord God Almighty, with tears. But crying out to the Lord doesn't always mean that we have tears physically. It means that we just maybe lift up our voice in crying out to God. It says that he cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord," notice what he says, "it is nothing with thee to help." How did he know that? How does Asa know this? How did he reach this conclusion? Is this just some happy-go-lucky pie in the sky? I mean, let's have positive thinking kind of an idea. No, he knows God. Amen? And when you know God, you know that it's nothing for him to help, right? If he stood and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And if he formed you, and you think about the creation of mankind, and even after the initial with Adam and then subsequent, the way in which he designed the reproductive abilities of humans, it's absolutely amazing. Fearfully and wonderfully made, no doubt. You begin to just look at, listen, it's nothing for, there's a million of them, Asa. Yeah, that's nothing for my God. Amen. He says this, "whether with many or with them that have no power." You ever feel like you're in a position where you have no power? Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on Thee, and in Thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against Thee. Did you see in verse number 11 that he repeated himself with regard to, again, like Hezekiah did, O Lord, our God. O Lord, Thou art God. Why? To encourage himself. There's a million people that are coming to destroy. Help us, Lord. I know who You are. I know what You've done before. I know that it's nothing with Thee. Look here, if you will, at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in the life of Jehoshaphat. I love these biblical accounts, and as God gives us this information of these, even in the Old Testament, that they knew the name of God and they trusted in Him. They had confidence and courage and comfort by knowing the name of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 3. Notice what the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared. You know how many times the Bible says, fear not? It's like over 120 times. Fear not, fear thou not, do not fear. God hath not given to us a spirit of fear. But if we're honest tonight, there are times that we fear. You know how many other things God tells us not to do that we do? You understand what I'm saying? So just because God told us a whole host of times not to fear doesn't mean that we always fear not. Jehoshaphat was in a situation and he feared. Sometimes we maybe think that we need to be extra spiritual or something, but look, there's some things that happen in life And Jehoshaphat, the Bible says he feared. But you know what he did when he feared? Look at what it says. And set himself to seek the Lord. Isn't that a good response to fear? Isn't that a good way to get from fearing to fearing not? Get in the presence of God, right? It says that he set himself. That's a deliberate action, a deliberate decision. The Bible says that he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. And notice he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together. For what purpose? To ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Look at verse number 12, if you will. And the Bible says this, as Jehoshaphat here, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Then notice what he says. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. I'm glad there's not a period there. It's a colon. Aren't you? Listen, has there ever been a time in your life that you said, I don't have any might or power in this situation and I don't know what to do? Have you ever been in a situation I don't know what to do? We've all been in a situation before. Lord, I need wisdom. I need help. Lord, I don't know what to do. But it says, our eyes are upon Thee. Our eyes are upon Thee. What was Jehoshaphat doing? He's seeking God. He knows God. He knows the name of God. He knows what God is able to do. He knows that here in this situation, when the Moabites and the Ammonites came against them, that there was nothing that he could do physically. They were outnumbered. They were outpowered. But he said, we're going to proclaim a fast. We're going to set our heart to seek the Lord. Why? Because I know who God is. Jehoshaphat, he says, it's good for us to be honest with God. He knows anyway. Amen? He already knows. I caught myself this morning praying, and I said, Lord, if I'd be honest, and I'm like, God already knows anyway, why did I even say that? But the reality is that he's just laying it all out before God. We have no power. We don't know what to do. No might against this host, this great company. He's honest before the Lord. But he says, our eyes are upon Thee. Lord, we're trusting Thee. We're looking to Thee. It reminds me of what the psalmist said in Psalm 120, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This evening, we see these examples. I'll close with one example from the New Testament. Look over, if you will, in Acts chapter 4. We'll look there in Acts chapter number 4. It's a record of these disciples. They'd been dealing with some difficulty, all because of a great thing that happened in chapter number 3, where a man that was lame was healed. And they're facing opposition, and they're facing, after being incarcerated, now they're being interrogated, and then they're being told, they're being threatened and commanded not to speak in the name of the Lord. In fact, it says it this way in verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. What name? Well, that's the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name, the name at which every tongue is going to confess, every knee is going to bow, to the glory of God. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the great Savior. We find this evening that in verse 23, after they'd heard these threatenings, they'd been incarcerated and interrogated, they'd been threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they say, we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Praise the Lord for that. They were threatened further, and in verse 23 it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. You know, they gather the other believers together, and they give them a quick update as to what the situation is. And as they provide them with this update, it says, and when they heard that in verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Why is it that their immediate response was to pray? In fact, in each of these examples that we've gone to this evening, the first response on those that we've looked at is to go to God in prayer, to trust Him, because they know who He is. They repeat and sometimes use a variety of names of God within a short prayer. And here it says that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Doesn't that sound similar to some of the prayers that we read earlier in the Kings, when we looked at the examples of Asa and Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat? And they recognize who God is. They know who He is, and they say, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Not only did they know who God was, and they know the name of God, they know the work of God, they knew the scriptures, they knew in verse 25 is a reference from Psalm, and they knew from Psalm 2 this reference to the Psalms. And they go through praying, and notice in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. I love the fact that this teaches me so much, and I hope it teaches you so much this evening as well. Oftentimes, when we're faced with circumstances and situations such as this, we may go to God and pray, but we may pray quite differently than how the disciples prayed. Lord, would You deal with the opposition? God, I know You can deal with them. Would You just eliminate them? Would You do something? They didn't pray at all on God doing something to stop, eliminate, slow down the opposition. They simply said, Lord, You've heard what they've said. You've heard their threatenings. So give us boldness that we may speak Thy word. Isn't that a great prayer? A prayer for boldness. in the midst of the opposition? Could they have prayed that God would deal with the adversity or the adversary and deal with the opposition? Sure, but they said, God, give us boldness. I believe that God could. This evening, as we summarize not quite 9 full months, but we've been dealing with it for 9 full months on Wednesday evenings, the names of God. We've looked at a number of them. What's been the purpose? Is it just academic? Just so that we can know some Hebrew names of God, because in our Bibles we don't have as many English renderings as they would in Hebrew. No, it's not just academic. Because knowing God deeply and intimately, and knowing what He's revealed to us through His names and the aspects of His character and the attributes that are revealed, it will result in us as the people of God placing our trust in Him. It's the whole purpose. I read the verse already this evening, but I'm going to close with it even as I started back in January with it. In Psalm 9 and verse 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." We didn't exhaust it. We didn't study every name that's given to us in the Scriptures, but we studied quite a few of them. And I hope tonight that when we face circumstances, when we face situations such as the circumstances that Elijah and Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Peter, we didn't even look at it, Paul, we didn't look at it, and the disciples, when they face these circumstances because they knew who God was, they go to God in prayer. They trust Him. Their prayer reveals to us elements of what they know to be true about their God. And they pray, giving to us an example of what do we do when we have those circumstances. Listen, the difficulty is going to come. The troubles are going to come. There's going to be a time that you're going to be like Jehoshaphat. I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on Thee. I'm afraid, but I'm going to set my heart to seek the Lord. Why? Because I know who He is. And He, listen, I'm afraid, but remember, He is peace, Jehovah Shalom, amen, gives us peace. I got this medical, He's the Lord who heals. I got this He's the God of the impossible, the Almighty God, the Most High God, the Strong One. This evening, I hope that as we've kind of summarized all of these messages, that our hearts would be encouraged and that we would trust in the name of the Lord. Listen, our God, they said it this way, our rock is not like their rock. Amen? And it's a capital R when talking about our rock, and it's a little r talking about their rock. Listen, our God is the living God. He's a living God. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows all that's taking place in every one of our lives. He cares deeply about every single one of us, and He wants us to trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for revealing to us through Your names who You are. Various aspects of Your character and various attributes that You reveal to us through these names. And God, I pray that it would give us comfort, courage, and confidence to know Your name. God, that would result, as we read in Psalm 9, of us putting our trust in Thee. Help us not to trust ourselves. The armor of flesh, as the songwriter said, will fail us. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, though it's so tempting. Help us to trust You, Lord. We thank You for the privilege of corporate prayer. I do pray that You would bless through the remainder of the service, that all that's said and done would honor and glorify Thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.